This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:05, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in WCHL, 68 degrees, and finally starting to warm up just a little bit. High today about 88, so it's going to warm up by 20 degrees before the day is over. Mostly sunshine today. Really nice weather. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low 65, and then tomorrow, another great day. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday night, not bad. Partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. On Sunday, partly sunny. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, but probably not until late in the afternoon. High on Sunday in the middle 80s. Then on Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday, big chance of rain through all that time. Between now and then, really nice. For the second time in 2 weeks, parents and teachers are raising their voices to ask county commissioners to raise more money for schools. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
Nearly 100 residents turned out to last night's public hearing on the county budget, and they had a clear message for county commissioners.
I'm here tonight, along with many others, to ask you to do whatever it takes to fund the school districts at their requested amounts. I would support an increase in the county tax and special district tax to support both districts.
I'm a property owner, a taxpayer, a father, and a citizen. I'm anxious to pay more taxes.
It is my civic duty to invest in our children. I can think of no better way to spend my money.
Raise my taxes.
My parents said they are willing to pay more in taxes so the schools will have enough money to keep things going like they are now.
I honestly would be disappointed if I opened my tax bill in September and I don't see an increase in it that fully funds our schools.
That's Margaret Samuels, Hunter Pendleton, Laura Williams, Scott Windham, Calvin Hinkle, and James Eastham. Just a handful of the 50 speakers who addressed the board. The vast majority of those speakers called for more money for both school systems. The manager's budget recommendation covers operational expenses and enrollment growth, but it does not fully fund the request from either school board. To generate the $8.8 million in additional funding the school boards are asking for, commissioners would need to raise the countywide property tax by 5.5 cents per $100 of value. Alternately, commissioners could increase the Chapel Hill Carborough special district tax by the same amount to generate $5.7 million for that school system alone. Commissioners have not raised the property tax rate in 4 years, and Victoria Templeton reminded the crowd that school budgets have been shrinking in that time.
Initially, the cuts were used to improve efficiencies. But where we are now is we've gone beyond improving efficiencies, and we've gone beyond cutting waste, and we're now into cutting essential programs.
All parties agreed that the funding shortfalls are made worse by state and federal budget cuts. Commissioner Mark Dorson urged the audience to make their voices heard next week at the Mega Moral Monday protest at the General Assembly.
It is incredibly important, as you all said so eloquently tonight, to understand that while we'll do what we can, the real struggle is much bigger than what's happening in the county. It's happening statewide.
Commissioners will take up budget negotiations at a work session on June 6th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Outgoing UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe has long been recognized for having ushered in a new era of improved town-gown relations in our Chapel Hill Carborough community. With his time at Carolina coming to an end next month, local leaders have expressed some concern about the future. But Thorpe says he has every reason to believe that the momentum will continue. He says incoming Chancellor Carol Folt will pick up right where he left off.
So far, Carol Folt and I have not had a conversation where we disagreed about anything.
Thorpe made that comment at yesterday's meeting of Chapel Hill's Friends of the Downtown.
I believe she is an academic first. She has worked on behalf of Hanover, New Hampshire. She knows that the relationship with the community is important. And I have no reason to think that she will change that.
Holden Thorpe and his wife Patty were the guest of honor yesterday. Dozens of local officials and downtown leaders and concerned people in the community gathered at the Franklin Hotel to recognize the Thorpe's work to improve the town-gown partnership, both before and during his time as UNC Chancellor. Here's Friends of the Downtown Chair, Pat Evans.
They have done so much for the town with working with the university and the town together in a way in which town and gown has not been done before.
Signs of that partnership include closer collaboration in real estate projects like 123 West Franklin, the soon-to-be former University Square, joining forces to promote startup businesses for entrepreneurs with projects like Launch Chapel Hill, working together to address the student housing crunch and its effect on nearby neighborhoods, and perhaps most notably of all, at least it will be in the long run, sharing responsibility for the ongoing Carolina North project, as well as the infrastructural improvements that project will require. Amidst all his accomplishments as chancellor at UNC, Thorpe says he's particularly proud of that improved relationship.
The work that we have been able to do with this community and on behalf of the town is among the most rewarding things that I've been able to do in my career.
While his departure next month will mark the start of an uncertain new era, Thorpe says it shouldn't be hard to sustain that close partnership, since at the end of the day, town and gown are really one and the same.
The first thing about university town politics that people who work in the university need to understand is that in a town like this, if the university is at odds with the elected officials in a college town, then that means that they're also at odds with their own people. This is obvious, but it's surprising how many people don't get that. You know, it's a false thing to say, well, the university is at odds with the town. Because if you're saying that, then the university is at odds with itself. So the first thing you got to do when you analyze this is not treat it as though the university and the town, especially here, are two separate things.
Holden Thorpe's tenure as UNC chancellor comes to an end on June 30th. In July, he will be taking over as provost at Washington University in St. Louis. So far, we don't know if Carol Folk can play rock and roll guitar. UNC Chancellor Emeritus James Meeser has been appointed as the new interim chancellor at the UNC School of the Arts. Meeser will take over that position on August 1st. He will succeed John Mosseri, who announced last fall he would be stepping down after 7 years in the post. Mosseri will step down June 30th. Provost David Nelson will serve as acting chancellor through July. WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with James Meeser on Thursday.
James Meeser is the chancellor of UNC School of the Arts now. Congratulations.
Thank you, Aaron.
So how did it all come about?
It came about in a phone call from Tom Ross, who got me at home one day and said, I don't think you have enough to do.
Was he right?
No, I don't think I said, you're not right. I've got plenty to do, and I'm very happy. Thank you very much.
So how long was the process that that began with that?
Actually, it was just a few conversations with I had that conversation with President Ross, and then I... And in the long, to make a long story short, what happened at the School of the Arts is they had a search for a chancellor, which ultimately failed. They had a couple of really strong candidates, and their number one candidate, whom they thought was coming, I think ultimately decided to stay where she was. Their second candidate dropped out, and the rest of the field wasn't all that attractive. And I think there are some issues that really need to be dealt with over there that I think I can help with over the course of the next year. I told the chair of their board that my job was to sort of make this the most attractive position I can so that they'll have a very successful search and they're going to start this up again in the fall. So I'm anticipating being over there really for the academic year, not longer.
Are you going to be involved in the search process at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, I'll stay. Only until they bring people in and want me to talk with them, which I'll, of course, do. Mm. And then I'll help them sell the place. But, no, I won't be involved in the search at all.
So what are your specific plans to move forward as chancellor for the coming year? What are you looking forward to doing?
Well, I don't know the people over there. And so the first thing I will do is meet with the leadership team. I think one of the things I want to do is make sure that the leadership team is really working effectively and working as a team, and that's the way I led this university, and that's my style is to be the captain of the team, but let the team really be important. Then that means the people who are directly reporting to the chancellor and the deans of the several schools. I mean, the School of the Arts is a very small place. As President Ross said, it's a much smaller job than the one I had before, but it also happens to be in a field that I know pretty well. It's not unlike the two colleges or schools that I was dean of at Penn State and at Kansas, both schools of fine arts. This is just performing arts, but this is sort of right in my wheelhouse, and I have a lot of experience being the chief administrator of an art school. So it will be kind of fun to go back to my roots in this area. The School of the Arts is an incredibly fine institution. It's the only publicly supported conservatory in the United States. Its students are just dazzlingly great. It's one of the jewels in North Carolina's crown, and it's a very special place. And so I just want to help them be successful. That's my mission.
Well, best of luck to you, James Meeser, formerly Chancellor Emeritus at UNC, I guess still Chancellor Emeritus at UNC, now interim Chancellor-elect at the School of the Arts. Congratulations.
The last piece of news is I'm taking a leave from Carolina, but my intention is to come back and still be active here when this is over.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Aaron.
That was James Meeser taking over as interim chancellor at the UNC School of the Arts in August. The search committee will start right away looking for the next permanent chancellor. UNC System President Tom Ross issued a statement upon his appointment of Meeser, reading, quoting here, "James Meeser's vast administrative experience and his demonstrated love of and commitment to the arts and humanities make him uniquely qualified to lead the School of the Arts during a time of transition. He understands the many challenges and opportunities before this very special campus of the university, and I am grateful that he has agreed to accept this important assignment. The UNC School of the Arts will be in very capable hands during this interim period," unquote. Meeser holds a doctorate of musical arts from the University of Michigan. He specializes in organ performance. He served as chancellor at UNC from 2000 to 2008, just before Holden Thorpe. It's 8:16, 16 minutes after 8 o'clock, WCHL. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together, and this Chapel Hill Traffic Report brought to you by Chapel Hill Tire Car Care Center. From major repairs to simple oil changes for imports, domestics, and hybrids. With 4 convenient locations in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and also in Durham, ChapelHillTire.com. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rachel Nash.
Do you want to hear a fun fact first?
Sure. Throw it at me.
The North Carolina School of the Arts is in Winston-Salem, which is my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Been there many times, seen many plays, so it's
I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very cool place. Did you know it was my hometown?
Yes. Yes, I did know that, and I know that Anthony Wellman also
on
the WCHL staff is from Winston-Salem.
And we actually went to the same high school 1 year before I transferred to another school.
Wow.
Both North Forsyth Vikings, for anybody that knows anything about high schools in Winston-Salem.
Well, I won't hold that against you.
But on to traffic.
Yeah,
there's a slow-up on the Durham Freeway just near I-40, so watch out for that. But all the rest of the roadways moving smoothly right now. I-40, 15501, and NC-54, no accidents to report at this time. But if you do see something throughout your morning commute, you can give me a call in the newsroom at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL and be a WCHL road warrior, but we ask that you do it safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you in just a little while here. WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover to Weather, presented by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with a great chewy ice, and only 79 cents for Cruisers fountain drinks. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. Your weather forecast looks like this. 70 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, mostly sunny, high today in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 65. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, about the same, high in the upper 80s. Saturday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. On Sunday, a mostly sunny day, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the afternoon, high in the middle 80s. Chance of rain is 20%. Then on Sunday night, we'll have a 50-50 chance of rain. Monday and Tuesday, boy, they look rainy both days. We'll have a 70% chance of rain Monday night, and Tuesday. But between now and the end of the weekend, certainly it looks like really great weather. So enjoy it if you have the chance.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
And good news this morning at 8:19, 19 minutes after 8 o'clock, Orange County had the lowest unemployment rate in the state at 5.3% for the month of April. That's a slight drop from March's rate of 5.6%, according to numbers just released by the North Carolina Department of Commerce. By comparison, the rate in April of 2012 was 5.7%. Among North Carolina's metro areas, Durham, Chapel Hill also had the lowest rate at 6.3%. Statewide, rates decreased in 97 of North Carolina's 100 counties in April, or 14 in the state's metro areas experienced rate decreases as well. It's important to note that these numbers are not seasonally adjusted, but the latest unemployment figures we have for Orange County, 5.3%, certainly pretty good, what we've had lately. North Carolina lawmakers say they want public schools to get back to basics by ensuring that they teach cursive writing and rote multiplication in elementary school. The Senate gave final approval yesterday to a House bill requiring school boards ensure their students can create readable cursive documents by the end of fifth grade that can show they've memorized multiplication tables. The bill entitled Back to Basics now goes to Governor Pat McCrory's desk for his signature. Many bill supporters say the measure is needed because National Common Core standards, now followed by North Carolina and most states, leave out cursive handwriting. The Senate passed the bill with three Democrats voting no. Some protesters of Republican policies have called the bill an example of legislative overreach. A conservation group, Friends of Bowling Creek, is hosting a basketball tournament today starting at 5:30. It's happening at Homestead Park, just off Martin Luther King Boulevard. It's free to the public, but they are accepting donations. Julie McClintock, a former town council member in Chapel Hill, and of course most active now with Friends of Bowling Creek, says the event was entirely organized by students at Chapel Hill High School.
It's a very wonderful thing when you see young people come up with their own ideas about what they can do to change the world.
The science students reached out to McClintock about wanting to organize a special benefit. Area firefighters and police officers will be playing in this tournament alongside the students, but McClintock says anyone can play. Donations will be put towards keeping sediment out of Bowling Creek in addition to other projects.
And so we have an initiative at Chapel Hill High right now, because Chapel Hill High, many people don't know it, is actually built on a tributary to Bowling Creek. And so there are flooding problems, there are erosion problems. It's an older school, and it needs attention.
The plan is to put vegetation along the Bowling Creek bank to prevent future erosion. News around town this morning. The Chapel Hill Police Department is sponsoring a 5K race on Saturday, June 15th. That is 2 weeks from tomorrow, to benefit Special Olympics of North Carolina. The race is called Guardians of the Hill, and the Chapel Hill Police Department is planning to make it an annual event. It'll take place at Southern Community Park, right next to Southern Village, beginning at 9 in the morning. Again, 2 weeks from tomorrow. To register, you can visit www.sportoffen.com. Registration fees are $25 for an individual or $30 for a family. You can find out more details on our website. Go to the News Around Town link at chapelbro.com. 8:22, 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, and time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Today, Carolina baseball will take on Canisius, 6 p.m. first pitch in the NCAA opener here in Chapel Hill at beautiful Boshammer Stadium. Number one overall seed in the tournament is Carolina. They're 1-0 all time against the Golden Griffins of Canisius. The only time they've ever met before was way back in 1958. Carolina won, incidentally, but it really has no bearing on today's game. Here's what head coach Mike Fox had to say when we spoke to him on the WCHL Morning News about going into the tournament and playing Canisius.
And we have to be careful not to overthink things or do things too differently. I trust this team because we, you know, for 60 games, they brought it every single day and every single night, and I don't expect anything different this weekend.
The Tar Heels are the ACC regular season champions and ACC tournament champions, sitting with a record of 52-8. A remarkable feat. They won 52 games, that's more than ever in Carolina baseball history, and only lost all eight games all season long, which is quite remarkable. Number four seed Canisius was the Metro Atlantic Athletic Champions. They're 41-14 on the year. Pretty good record. Fox says the home field advantage will make a big difference this weekend.
You know, high percentage of teams that play at home that do host a regional and a super regional, those are the teams that, you know, that advance. You know, it's not a surprise. It's familiarity. It's home crowd. It's not having to travel, hotels, all those things that go into play.
The tournament opener will take place at 1 o'clock this afternoon with number 2 seed Florida Atlantic, the Sun Belt champions, meeting number 3 seed Towson, champions of the Colonial Athletic Conference. UNC is 3-0 against Florida Atlantic after a series opening sweep in Boca Raton during the 2008 season. And Carolina owns a 25-2 all-time advantage over Towson since the series began back in 1969. Heels have won 12 straight against the Tigers, with the last meeting coming in 2007. First, they have to get by Canisius, of course. Chapel Hill Regional champion will advance to face the winner of the Columbia Regional in the Super Regional round for the right to advance to the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. That will be the Super Regional, presumably in Chapel Hill, if Carolina can get past this regional. For a complete Chapel Hill Regional schedule, you can read the article on our website. You can also hear the full conversation I had with Mike Fox. That is posted there as well at chapelbro.com. Coach very excited to begin NCAA play and calls it a whole new season, and indeed it is. As always, 97.9 FM will be broadcasting all the Diamond Heels games in the tournament. games to be streamed live as well on chapelbrew.com. Again, the first action today, Carolina versus Canisius. 6 o'clock is when we get started right here. Three Tar Heels earned Louisville Slugger All-America honors for their performances during the 2013 season. Junior starting pitcher Kent Emanuel earned a spot on the first team after going 10-3 with a 2.11 ERA and 15 appearances and 14 starts. Emanuel currently leads the Atlantic Coast Conference with 10 wins and has averaged nearly 8 innings per start on his way to a league-leading 110 and two-thirds innings in 2013. Junior third baseman Colin Moran was named second-team All-America after leading the nation in RBIs during the regular season. Moran finished the regular season with a batting average of .357 to go along with his NCAA leading 84 RBIs. Senior first baseman Cody Stubbs earned third-team All-America honors. He finished third in the country in RBIs with 72. Stubbs also tallied 22 doubles to rank among the top 10 in UNC single-season history. And, of course, we hope the Carolina baseball season is far from over, so those numbers will indeed get bigger. 8:26. 26 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. I'm Ron Sutton.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Here's the conversation I hope to have with Carolina Sky Bolt sometime over the weekend. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Unless you've just dropped in from Mars, you know that UNC's top-ranked and top-seeded baseball team opens play in the NCAA tournament tonight against Canisius College from Buffalo. Perhaps more than any time in the last 8 years, these Tar Heels are not only favored to make it back to Omaha, but to finally win the dadgum College World Series. The Heels are loaded with star players like hitting machine Colin Moran and pitching ace Kent Emanuel. But to me, the most intriguing player is freshman outfielder Sky Bolt, the cleanup man with a rocket arm who bats .347 and leads the team in outfield assists. He also has one of the greatest names in any game. So here is what I plan to ask Bolt if I can get to the budding superstar surrounded by a crowd of Carolina girls and media after one of the games. So, Sky, we all know that's not your real name, right? That your family name is really Houlihan or Morgenstein or just plain Smith, huh? That in a family meeting you all decided to take a name that came from some action comic book or some superhero movie and that your mother went along with it. So she's not really Eva Bolt either, right? Eva Bolt is the name of an actress who would be playing opposite Tom Cruise in some 3D movie. Sky's the limit. Bolt will surely laugh and swear on his Holy Innocence high school diploma from Woodstock, Georgia, that Sky Bolt is his God-given or at least his family-given name. But I won't settle for such malarkey. Who runs like the wind with the last name Bolt and cracks long balls to the outfield like Roy Hobbs in The Natural with the first name Sky? There is no rain in the forecast this weekend, but don't be surprised if a Sky Bolt blast toward Eringhouse Dorm comes with a crack of lightning that looks like the San Diego Chargers logo. Okay, Sky Bolt, I'll buy your story that it's your real name, but I know you can't deny one fact. Your middle initial is M, which stands for McGillicuddy. Ha! Gotcha. This is our chance. See ya.
Well, when you got players on your team like Sky Bolt and your coach Mike Fox, you have lightning in a bottle. Hopefully there will be a lot of excitement this weekend at Bossemer Stadium. Everybody get out, and you can get details on how you can get tickets. I think there are still some single season or single tickets available. Go to GoHeels.com for all the details. And again, you can hear it right here on WCHL. We would rather you go. And listen while you're there. 8:28, 28 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL.
In the nation, they go by Guardian, Lifesaver, and Friend. At Nationwide Insurance, we just call them agents. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Join the nation that cares.
Nationwide is on your side.
Call Mark Vitale, Nationwide Insurance, today at 919-933-4000. Visit Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard or allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Time for a quiz. What Chapel Hill Group is investing in our local environment by buying carbon offsets, planting new trees, and ensuring toxic elements don't get into our water supply? And what Chapel Hill Group generously donates to hundreds of local social causes every day of every week of every year? The answer? Chapel Hill's business community. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Local business owners understand that commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals community. Commerce Plus in Chapel Hill. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz.
Okay, technical issues, 8:29, 29 minutes after 8 o'clock, WCHL. This is Rod Sutz, and we have coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have another local newscast. We have
now
a couple
it's time
of,
for the professional.
No, let's hold off on that for just a moment.
On 97.9 FM.
All right, let's hold off on that for just a moment, and we will have that coming up for you in just a few minutes here on WCHL. We have Our Local Deal as well, which is a very special deal. Go to ourlocaldeal.com, and you can get all the details. Right now, let's do the weather and see if that works. It's going to be really nice today, 8:30 right now, half past the hour. Mostly sunshine today, high today in the upper 80s. It is now 70 degrees in Chapel Hill. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, we'll look at it mostly sunshine with a high of about 88 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Sunday, partly sunny with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day and the high in the middle 80s. Pretty good day on Sunday, but we do have a big chance of rain on Sunday night and also Monday and Tuesday. Okay, this is 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news talk and Tar Heel station. It's 8:30.
Local news all day. Breaking news went.
Time for CBS News.
In the Lone Star State is being investigated after another poison-tainted letter was discovered in the nation's capital. Correspondent Barry Bagnato.
The man is being described as a person of interest in the case. His home in New Boston, Texas, is about an hour and a half's drive from Shreveport, Louisiana. The postmark on letters sent to President Obama, New York's Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and his gun control group here in Washington. Sources tell CBS News those latter two letters contained crude, low-quality ricin.
So far, no arrests have been made, but FBI agents have been gathered at the man's Texas home. That Shreveport postal facility handles mail from Louisiana, plus Texas and Arkansas. CBS's Bob Orr with more details on these mailings.
Sources say the ricin, made from castor beans, was of poor quality. Hazmat workers who handled the letter in Washington reported no health problems. In New York, three officers complained of mild health concerns, but everyone is fine.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
Morning is 8:32 at WCHL, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock. This is Rod Stutz, and taking a look at your news at the bottom of the hour, nearly 100 residents turned out for last night's public hearing on the Orange County budget, and a lot of people protesting. They want their taxes raised, believe it or not, to support our local
system.
I'm
here tonight, along with many others, to ask you to do whatever it takes to fund the school districts.
They want their taxes raised to fund not only the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, but the Orange County schools as well. We'll also hear from UNC Chancellor James Meeser throughout the day and his appointment as interim chancellor at the North Carolina School of the Arts. And outgoing Chancellor Holden Thorpe was honored yesterday about his contributions to the community. Patty Thorpe also honored for her contributions to our Chapel Hill Carborough community. We're going to talk about Carborough coming up in just a few minutes on WCHL. And also we'll tell you all about Project Graduation. For the second time in 2 weeks, parents and teachers are raising their voices to ask the Orange County Commissioners to raise more money for our schools. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
Nearly 100 residents turned out to last night's public hearing on the county budget, and they had a clear message for county commissioners.
I'm here tonight, along with many others, to ask you to do whatever it takes to fund the school districts at their requested amounts. I would support an increase in the county tax and special district tax to support both districts.
I'm a property owner, a taxpayer, a father, and a citizen. I'm anxious to pay more taxes.
It is my civic duty to invest in our children. I can think of no better way to spend my money.
Raise my taxes.
My parents said they are willing to pay more in taxes so the schools will have enough money to keep things going like they are now.
I honestly would be disappointed if I opened my tax bill in September and I don't see an increase in it that fully funds our schools.
That's Margaret Samuels, Hunter Pendleton, Laura Williams, Scott Windham, Calvin Hinkle, and James Eastham. Just a handful of the 50 speakers who addressed the board. The vast majority of those speakers called for more money for both school systems. The manager's budget recommendation covers operational expenses and enrollment growth, but it does not fully fund the request from either school board. To generate the $8.8 million in additional funding the school boards are asking for, commissioners would need to raise the countywide property tax by 5.5 cents per $100 of value. Alternately, commissioners could increase the Chapel Hill Carborough special district tax by the same amount to generate $5.7 million for that school system alone. Commissioners have not raised the property tax rate in 4 years, and Victoria Templeton reminded the crowd that school budgets have been shrinking in that time.
Initially, the cuts were used to improve efficiencies. But where we are now is we've gone beyond improving efficiencies, and we've gone beyond cutting waste, and we're now into cutting essential programs.
All parties agreed that the funding shortfalls are made worse by state and federal budget cuts. Commissioner Mark Dorson urged the audience to make their voices heard next week at the Mega Moral Monday protest at the General Assembly.
It is incredibly important, as you all said so eloquently tonight, to understand that while we'll do what we can, the real struggle is much bigger than what's happening in the county. It's happening statewide.
Commissioners will take up budget negotiations at a work session on June 6th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
At WCHL, 25 minutes until 9 o'clock. This is Ron Stutz, and we have all kinds of things going on this morning. We have a couple of special guests in the studio right now. Annette Stone is here. Good morning, Annette. Good to see you.
Good morning, Ron.
And also, Steve Balcom is here from the Splinter Group. How are you doing,
Hello,
Steve?
Ron.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you as well.
And Annette Stone, of course, here representing the town of Carrboro. And let's talk Carrboro. I'm always happy to talk Carrboro. It's 70 degrees right now in Chapel Hill. It's 69 in Carrboro,
exactly,
where it's always a degree cooler. But let's talk Carrboro is a special project spearheaded by Carrboro Marketing Agency, the Splinter Group. And, Steve, I know that you guys have been hired by the town to do this. And tell us about Let's Talk Carrboro. What's the idea behind it?
Well, we were hired in March to work on branding and marketing for the town of Carrboro, which is a huge honor for our agency. And the first step in this is really engaging the community and getting as much information as we can from the community about what they think Carrboro is all about. So we started with Let's Talk Carrboro. We have a website, letstalkcarrboro.com, where you can go and take a quick survey. It won't take you more than 3 or 4 minutes. We'll get a lot of useful information. And we also have idea stations set up throughout town. Mm-hmm. So you'll see little boxes at shops and restaurants and other places throughout Carrboro, where if you have a minute, tell us what you think about Carrboro.
Yeah, always more input. That's always a great idea. Annette Stone, of course, is Carrboro's marketing guru, economic development guru, I should say. And Annette, what's going on with you? Now, how excited are you about this whole project?
Well, I'm very excited. This was something, as I came into this job 2 years ago now, that was on the list of things to do, part of implementation of the local living economy, the task force. These were things that were identified as a need for the town. And so having gone through the process, having selected the Splinter Group, again, our local ad agency, very glad to have them on board, this is a step towards a bigger vision that the town has.
And then I have to hand it to you, because since you have come on board, you have gotten involved not only in things going on in Carrboro, but you're all over the community representing the town of Carrboro, which is really a cool thing. So I know you're making inroads every day. Steve, this is kind of an exciting campaign, and what do you hope to accomplish by the end of all this?
Well, I mean, we really want to hear from visitors, from residents, from people who work in Carrboro. We want to get as much information as we can on the table. I mean, this process is a creative process, and so when we're looking at surveys, we're looking at people's responses to our questions, we're learning a lot of interesting things about what they think about Carrboro. I think we all have our own take on Carrboro. You said it's 1 degree cooler, which we like. That might work its way in, Ron. You never know.
That is a that is a meteorological fact, and it has been true for a long time, by the way.
But this information forms the basis for how we do our job. And the first step in that is delivering a great-looking visual identity for the town. So you'll see a new logo for the town. You'll see some tagline, most likely, for the town. The town's working on a new website right now, so that might be one of the first places you see all this. But I think also in town signage, there's a lot of other outcomes of this visual identity that we're working on.
Annette, when you talk about Carrboro, let's talk Carrboro. Why not? There's a lot of excitement right now with development downtown. Carrboro's first hotel is going to open up very soon. There's a lot of good news about not only that, but other developments as well.
That's exactly right. The hotel should be opening late June, maybe mid-July, something in that area. And we're very excited about all that and all that will bring to the downtown. There's other projects that are just right on the cusp of being beginning, 300 East Main expansion there and Shelton Station, various developments that have been approved by the board. So there's a lot of activity happening down there.
Well, there's always something exciting going on. For folks to find out more about this and they want to know how to contribute, I know you want not only input from community leaders, but regular folks, everybody has a stake in Carrboro's future. How do they find out more, Steve?
That's exactly true. I mean, this is everybody, anybody. If you've got a couple minutes now or this weekend, go to letstalkcarrboro.com. It's a very short, maybe six questions, where we engage and want to know more about what you think of Carrboro. Or if you're out and about this weekend, you can stop by Weaver Street Market or Open Eye Cafe or the Season Gardening. There's a lot of places where you'll see these little idea stations. It just takes a minute to fill out. It's one simple question. What do you think makes Carrboro, Carrboro?
And you can also just get in touch with Annette Stone because you can find her everywhere.
Yeah. You can.
That's right. Feel free to call. I'd love to keep the community also engaged with the process even beyond this input
right.
point.
Mm-hmm.
So really going to the survey online, there's an opportunity to have yourself updated as things progress. So, mm-hmm. We'd love for people to do that.
Well, fantastic. Right. It's all exciting news. Thank you both very much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks for having us.
It is 8:40 at WCHL, 20 minutes until 9 o'clock. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to tell you about something very exciting that always happens for our high school seniors, Project Graduation.
And now it's time for the professionals, local services, expert insights on 97.9 FM WCHL.
I'm Mark Vitale, owner of All About Insurance, one of Nationwide's largest insurance agencies. I was raised a little different. My dad raised me that work was the essence of everything. I learned a lot, but mostly I learned that with hard work comes success. I go around the country helping people in the insurance industry build their businesses, and this is the first thing I say. First of all, you have to love what you do. I believe that it's a profession. It's not a job. What you're doing is so very, very important for the families and the people you are helping. Because if they lose their home and they don't have the correct protection, or they lose their auto, it could be someone poor and all they have is an auto. They get sick and they don't have the right health insurance. They die and they can't let the dreams that they've dreamed about be able to take care of their family. When I give a check to somebody that we've written, to a spouse after another spouse has died, or to a family member, even though it's a terrible time, it's comforting to know that someone thought about the dreams that that family had. That's what insurance is all about. Assets can be replaced. Dreams can't be replaced. So you can call in Chapel Hill at 919-933-4000 or stop in at Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard. Check us out at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This has been the professionals on 97.9 FM WCHL. Local services, expert insights. Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Brewery. It's half off, $20 for food and drinks, available now for $10. Beat the heat this summer with delicious food and beer from Carolina Brewery. Enjoy their award-winning burgers and lighter spring and summer menus, all paired with their award-winning beers. The Chapel Hill Brew Pub now offers 12 different fresh, handcrafted Carolina breweries on tap, all brewed on site. It's half off from Carolina Brewery. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Guess where I'll be this summer? Chapel Hill Gymnastics. The community's most popular gymnastics facility is offering summer camps. Your children ages 3 and up will learn new skills, make new friends, get exercise, and have fun. Chapel Hill Gymnastics summer camps take place in their 7,000-plus square foot climate-controlled gymnasium at the corner of Eubanks and Millhouse Roads. Register online today at chapelhillgymnastics.com. I'll be at Chapel Hill Gymnastics summer camp. You should come with me.
Good morning. It is 8:43, 17 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL, and more excitement in our community. Project Graduation. It's just about time for Project Graduation, and this is, of course, a special event that involves all our graduating high school seniors, and we have three people here to talk about it today. First of all, Jordan Bowers is here from Carrboro High School. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Thanks for coming. Stephen Himmelberg from Chapel Hill High School. Stephen?
Doing good. How are you?
All right. And Matt Creator from East Chapel Hill High School.
How you doing, Ron?
You guys are, the answer to your question is really good. You guys are all chairman at each of your respective high schools for the Project Graduation thing. And it's something that has a lot of history, goes back a long way. But I assume you have been meeting and you've been planning for Project Graduation. First of all, Jordan, when is it and where is it?
It's on Saturday, June 8th, from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., and it's held at the Student Union.
Mm-hmm. At on the Carolina campus.
Yes.
And that is 1 week from tomorrow.
Yes.
Stephen, tell me about your involvement in this and what you're excited about with Project Graduation, and explain to folks who might not know, what is this event all about?
Well, it's an event that keeps seniors off the road on the night of graduation, because there have been a lot of accidents, a lot of driving accidents on the night of graduation when kids go out and party. And it's really sad when that happens on graduation. So it's just a way to bring everyone together for one last time and just have a good time with the whole senior class for the whole area. And we've been meeting for the whole year, once a month, and just to organize this whole event. It's been a lot of fun.
Matt, I know that one of the cool things about it is that it is a cool event. It is something that, you know, anytime parents are involved or something like that, you know, kids don't want to go. But this is something that just about everybody attends. So I know you and everybody else over at East are excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, when you go into Project Graduation, you see all the fun stuff to do. You know, you have the casino, dodgeball, food. There's a lot of excitement about it, and it's something that seniors really look forward to on the night of their graduation.
Jordan, I know that this is something that you also couldn't do without the participation of a lot of our local business community and people who help make it happen.
Right. We need the support of all of those businesses throughout town, and with their support also, not only would it not be able to function, it also brings a sense of community for everyone, and I think that's really important.
Stephen, one of the really cool things is the fact that people can win some really nice prizes. What kind of stuff do you have?
Well, we have a prizes committee that spends a lot of money, and they work really hard to get a lot of donations. You can win iPads, dorm TVs. There's also a lot of scholarships given out. You can win iPods, and there's just a lot of cool stuff.
And Matt, if folks want to find out more, I know that you accept contributions from the community. If somebody would just like to donate some money to Project Graduation, how do they do that? What's your website?
Yeah, our website is projectgraduation.org. We also have a mailing address. It's P.O. Box 17043, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 27516. We usually just go around asking for donations from the community, kind of adding on to what Jordan said. It's a very community-driven event, mm-hmm. and we need all the help that we can get. We are a little bit short of our fundraising goal right now, so any help that we can get in this last week would be really appreciated.
Fantastic. Well, that is, once again, a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
It starts at what time?
11 p.m.
11 p.m. It goes until 4 o'clock in the morning,
yes.
which kind of makes it a cool event all in itself. And while you guys are here, I got to ask you this. First of all, Matt, what are your plans after high school?
I'm going to Georgia Tech.
Really?
For engineering, yes. I'm really excited about it.
What kind of engineering?
It's mechanical or biomedical, depending
wow.
on, you know, what I get a feel for early on. But the Atlanta area is just going to be so great. It's
yeah.
a networking area, so very excited about it.
I'll pull for you every day except when Carolina's playing Georgia Tech.
Of course. I'm not even sure I'll go for Georgia Tech in that case.
Stephen, what are you going to do when you graduate from high school?
I'm going to go to Washington and Lee University. I'm going to play basketball there.
Cool. Fantastic. Also, Jordan, what are you going to do?
I'm going to App State.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's fantastic. You're staying right here in North Carolina.
Yep.
All right. Well, good luck to all of you. Thank you for getting involved in Project Graduation, because I know it's a really cool event, and there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes for a long time that people don't realize. The people who go there and have fun just go there and have fun, but you guys have been working on it all year, so you got a lot on the line. So thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
It is 8:48, 12 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. Good morning.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, here's a crazy question for you. What is the North Carolina connection to the accomplishment by Korean scientists of the first successful commercial pet dog cloning? Well, actually, there are two important connections. The first one's pretty straightforward. John Westendick, the author of Dog Inc., The Uncanny Inside Story of Cloning Man's Best Friend. He was born in Winston-Salem, and he's a member of the North Carolina Journalism Hall of Fame. Well, the second connection is a little more complicated, and you'll have to stick with me a minute, but it'll be worth it. Dog Inc., this book, is about cloning pets. And cloning is a science, but pets are about human emotion. So cloning pets is about using science to exploit human emotional feelings in order to make big bucks. Westendieck explains the cloning science so we can begin to understand how the process works and why dogs present a greater challenge than most domestic animals in the process of cloning. And he describes sympathetically the emotions that drive some pet owners to pay exorbitant sums to try to get genetic duplicates of the animals they adore. And he explains the motives of the scientists, universities, and businesses that respond to the opportunities that the demand for pet cloning presents. So, you ask now, what is the North Carolina connection in all this? Well, first I have to ask you a question. Do you remember about Tabloid? It was a documentary film a few years ago based on a 1978 news story about Joyce McKinney, a beauty queen who followed the young man she loved to London, where he had gone to serve as a Mormon missionary. According to news reports, she kidnapped him, tied him up, and made love to him against his will. Well, McKinney denied this version. Still, for a few days, this beautiful young woman was world famous. The connection? Well, Joyce McKinney grew up in North Carolina. So what is her connection to dog ink and cloning? Well, years later, Westendieck got to know a Brian McKinney, who also grew up in North Carolina and lived much of her life here. Booger, one of her many pet dogs, and one who had saved her life, died. She saved some of his tissue and wanted to have him cloned. So Westendieck in his book explains how Bear Ann McKinney came to be the first commercial customer of a successful dog cloning, and how she made a deal with the Korean cloning operation to pay $150,000 for the work. Then how she got them to reduce the fee in return for her agreement to give interviews to publicize the availability of the Korean cloning service, and how those interviews led to the revival of the 1978 story about the beauty queen and the Mormon missionary, and how North Carolinian Joyce McKinney and North Carolinian Bear Ann McKinney turned out to be the same person. Oh, but you already made that connection, didn't you? Great story. This is D.G. Martin.
Thank you, D.G. 852, 8 minutes away from 9 o'clock at WCHL. Quickly here, let's check traffic on WCHL. And it's brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers, good to go. Now one more report from Rachel Nash.
No accidents to report at this time. Everything moving smoothly on I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. If you do see something throughout your morning commute, you can call me in the newsroom at 919-967-8363. Or you can tweet us at WCHL and be a WCHL Road Warrior.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all the work you've been doing back in the newsroom all morning long. WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather presented by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda, South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. It is 71 degrees in Chapel Hill, mostly sunny, high today about 88. Tonight partly cloudy with a low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. For the most part, a really great weekend on the way.
Presents the Commentators.
This is Fred Black. Our Chapel Hill Town Council is in the midst of some very important conversations on our budget for next year. The big thing, as usual, is how we fund all of our needs and wants with the money that the town expects to receive. When the needs and wants exceed what the current tax rate will produce, then we start talking about increasing the tax rate. The town manager has proposed a 2-cent increase. This increase would mean that a home valued at $300,000 would pay another $60 or so. At the May 20th meeting, several speakers eloquently expressed why we need to fund more hours for the newly opened library. When the council members talked, there was mention of the priority budgeting system and what our priorities should be, and what should be the trade-offs. Those are good questions, but we need to ask whose priority should be addressed, and that's where we taxpayers must weigh in with energy and vigor. Our decision makers need to hear from us about priority. increase? Do we need a tax increase? Can other things be funded at a lower level? Who decides on what is a need and what is a want? Our thinking should be heard. This difficult but important work is often painful and emotional because we don't agree on some things and the way the process should actually proceed. But our decision makers must hear from us about priorities before they make the decisions. Feedback after the fact does not really help. So now is the time. I would like to believe that we, the people, are up to the challenge. This is Fred Black.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Basnight are both native Chapel Hillians who've seen our community through a half century of changes. Their advice is gold. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base in 30 years of business. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence to bring a fresh perspective to every situation. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Good morning. It is 8:56 at WCHL, 4 minutes until 9 o'clock. As promised, the North Carolina High School Athletic Association is the governing organization of high school athletics in North Carolina. They're located right here in Chapel Hill, even though a lot of people don't even know that. They're across from Finley Golf Course. They keep a low profile. The association maintains the official rule books and governs the officiating standards across the state, and they have put together a special commemorative book. And if you find you want to find out more about that, go to nchsaa.org. I have one of these books. It's a coffee table book to give away right now to a caller who can answer this trivia question. Which UNC football game this upcoming season has been labeled the North Carolina High School Athletic Association Game of the Season? Which game is it? Which opponent? If you're the first correct caller, I will give you a copy of the book. All right. 919-929-WCHL is your number to call right now.
Have you noticed ads recently from other jewelry stores trying to sound like Diamonds Direct? Promoting a huge selection of diamonds straight from the cutters, huge buying power, and designer engagement rings. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I suppose. But listen, it's not about the ads. It's about what happens in the store. And the truth is, nobody can compete with Diamonds Direct. The diamond selection is up to 20 times what you find elsewhere, and the diamonds are not on a computer screen. They're real, right in front of you, as many as you like, so you can buy smart. And while others promise to match prices, Diamonds Direct guarantees to beat anybody's price, not just here, but anywhere in America on a comparable diamond. And let me assure you, nobody can come close to Diamonds Direct in world connections, expert guidance, diamond education, product warranties, and customer guarantees. Yeah, the ads may be similar, but the experience is still worlds apart. Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's direct diamond importer, on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's.
Allergies getting to you? Pollen got you pooped? Dogwoods got you down? There's no need to suffer this allergy season. The doctors at UNC Family Medicine can help. Let us put together a personalized plan to keep you from sneezing and wheezing, whether it's spring, summer, or fall. Appointments are easy, and so is the parking. Find out more on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
The Orange County 4-H Cooperative Extension is accepting registration for its annual Summer Sizzle Camp. Activities are Monday through Friday from 7:45 a.m. to 5:45 p.m. from June 17th to July 19th. Parents can register for camp on a weekly basis. The program offers action-packed activities for rising 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Each week includes outdoor activities and field trips. For more information, call 919-245-2056. That's 919-245-2056.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Brewery. It's half off, $20 for food and drinks, available now for $10. Beat the heat this summer with delicious food and beer from Carolina Brewery. Enjoy their award-winning burgers and lighter spring and summer menus, all paired with their award-winning beers. The Chapel Hill Brew Pub now offers 12 different fresh, handcrafted Carolina breweries on tap, all brewed on site. It's half off from Carolina Brewery. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9.